You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
So whether the market is doing gangbusters or looking more like a dumpster fire, a good, well-rounded stock portfolio is necessary for any investor. Robinhood is a platform that aims to democratize finance for everybody. Robinhood believes everyone should have access to financial markets, so what they did was they built their system from the ground up to make investing friendly, approachable, and understandable for newcomers and experts alike. What I love about Robinhood is that you don't need an account minimum to start. There are zero fees for trading, and you can even purchase cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and Ethereum. Join today by tapping the link in the show notes to get a free stock. It's just like that. I mean, it's just free, just for signing up. And this free stock can be anything from SiriusXM to Apple or any of the other thousands of other publicly traded companies, just like that. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. So go get your free stock today by checking out that Robinhood link in the show notes today. Real fast, let me go ahead and tell you about Inbox Dollars. Are you looking for a side hustle so easy you could do it while sitting on the toilet or in between commercials watching your favorite show? Unless you're like on demand and commercials are like an ancient thing to you. Hear me out. Inbox Dollars has your back. For 20 years, Inbox Dollars has paid over $59 million in cash rewards to its members for doing everyday online activities such as reading emails, taking online surveys, playing games, and watching videos and TV. They also have ongoing promos and contests for members to win money online. And they share the top ways for people to get beauty samples, free printable coupons, and other free online stuff. With so many easy ways to earn extra cash online and having fun in the process, it's no wonder Forbes, Mashable, Bustle, and so many other trusted outlets name Inbox Dollars the easiest and fastest way to earn money online. If you're looking for a way to influence future products and services while getting paid at the same time, then Inbox Dollars is for you. Click the special link in the show notes of this episode today and get $5 just for signing up. Get this $5 signing bonus just for creating an account. That's Inbox Dollars. The link is in the show notes of today's episode. Get it, get your $5, and get started.
Prepare yourself. You're on the run with Remzo W. Martinez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to On the Run with your host, as always, me, myself, and I, Remzo W. Martinez. I want to tell you the story. The story of a boy. I forgot the rest of the lyrics. It was going to be fun, but long story short, I'm going to tell you the story of a man who moved from Wisconsin to Arizona. Got his life finally moving, but thought that he wanted more. So he recently went out into the Mojave Desert, whatever that is, and lived with a pack of mountain lions. Things were fine. He was finally seen as one of them after about a year and a half. But after some hashtag MeToo allegations, he realized that maybe staying in the pack wasn't a good idea sooner. And living as a half man, half mountain lion cub was not what he thought would be a retirement goal going forward. So he went to an ashram in Nepal, learned to find inner peace, but realized that life is nothing if he can't get a good Wi-Fi connection. So now he's back, getting back in touch with civilization. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tim Preuss. Tim, after your years of being away, and by years, I mean a couple months, have you decided to live your life as your true self, as a woman, or will you be pursuing other alternative lifestyles?
Other alternative lifestyles. What was that about me having a Me Too allegation against me?
I don't jump into what goes on in the mountain lion community or how
I think you have to be rich and famous to get an allegation like that.
It's a strange world, and what happens in the zoo stays in the zoo. Tim, it's been a long time.
Oh my God. Now you're accusing me of bestiality as well? What is going on?
I'm not accusing you of anything. These things just happen to circulate where they do. But how is life? You're coming back on the air very soon, so you wanted to go ahead and show people that you are still alive. And folks, I do not have my eyes on Tim, but hopefully I'm good enough to remember that this is his voice and that he is, in fact, living and breathing.
I'm alive. I'm well. I'm not dead, not for sale. Life is good. Like you said, it did take me a while just to kind of get settled and get everything figured out, and a few different hiccups and jumps and turns and bobs and weaves were thrown in there. But it's like, all right, now I can kind of relax, get everything situated. And I feel like I missed quite a bit. You know, because I used to talk about news and politics for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then I stopped and came back and stopped and came back and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, do I want to jump into this whole coronavirus business right now? This was in, you know, March or April when I was thinking about it. Yeah. And I thought, no, because there's always new stuff coming out about it. So I don't want to make a statement and then I have to take it back. So I decided to hold off until the coronavirus thing was over. And I waited. And I'm like, okay, this shit ain't going away. God damn. So here I am. And I just, I got to bite the bullet. And we got to talk about Black Lives Matter again. We have to talk about Joe Biden some more. And Nancy Pelosi's ping pong eyeballs. So it's time to get back down to business, and I hope people are excited to hear the show. It is restarting, like you stated, July 27th. So that's 2 weeks from when we're recording this.
Oh wow! So I guess this means we have to go down the COVID riot fest checklist. I guess. Did you watch Tiger King?
I watched it while drunk and falling asleep. So
that's the
I
only way to watch it.
That I watched it, but I don't really remember much about it.
You do know that there was a homosexual cowboy who owned a tiger zoo and sold meth and guns and tiger cubs to people, and he has it out for this bitch named Carol Baskin. You know that much, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, okay. I know the premise of the series.
It's that's all you really need to know. The tiger phase of King of the Tiger King phase of things has essentially died out. But we are getting Nicolas Cage, who will be doing a scripted series as Joe Exotic. So that'll be coming up whenever that happens.
Is that his name, Joe Exotic?
Joe Exotic.
Wow, sounds like he makes porn.
He would probably have done better if he did make porn.
With that mullet and that mustache, hell yeah, a lot of gay porn.
I mean, you know, throw the tigers in there. That's a whole, you know, he could be niche famous, mm-hmm. as the kids say. Let me see. Toilet paper. Did you at one point run out of toilet paper and or beat old people in order to obtain their toilet paper? And or did you steal toilet paper from work?
I didn't run out of toilet paper. I didn't steal toilet paper. I didn't beat old. Well, I beat up old people, but it had nothing to do with old, with toilet paper. So no. I did get in a few scruffles with the elderly.
They are quite vivacious.
Yeah, they need to learn to move their freaking wheelchairs faster. That's all I'm saying.
It's their fault for getting in your way.
Hey, I got the right of way. You know, the road is for cars, not people in wheelchairs, goddammit.
It's that own person's fault that he happened to have his wheelchair in front of your car. Rest in peace, random stranger. Okay, at one point, did you ever encounter the mysterious murder hornets?
No, I heard about them, and I thought it was the name of an XFL team.
Rest in peace, XFL.
Right, I know. That's like...
As soon as I start getting into football, they're like, oh, by the way, guys, we're done. Bye. And I'm like, shit, I wanted to get myself some DC Defenders gear.
Well, yeah, it was poor timing, you know, it's... I thought that their games were better than they were in the first incarnation back in like 2001. But because of the whole coronavirus thing, everything got shut down and they folded. They're gone. So who knows? Maybe the third time is the charm. Maybe the XFL will be back and we'll have some more crappy football to watch.
They will be the XXFL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when in doubt, give it a grittier reboot. Speaking of that, what else happened? Did you at one point riot and or set someone's car on fire because of the aching in your heart for something most people don't understand?
I accidentally set my own car on fire and that then started rioting because I was so angry.
That does count.
That does count? Okay. Yeah, it was an accident, and it was my own car. It had nothing to do with, you know, George Floyd or anything like that. I don't get into those social causes. I was just upset because I'd accidentally set my car on fire.
So the only thing to do justifiably is set somebody else's car on fire.
No, I didn't do that. I set their house on fire.
That's a little excessive, but all right. I can see it.
They had a detached garage, so their car was fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could have gone for a twofer there, but I mean, we'll let you get away with this one. I think that's basically it. That catches up everyone to where we are right now.
That's everything that happened in the last 6 months.
Oh, aliens. We got proof. What? UFOs. Yeah. The Navy released a bunch of videos saying that they have actual video evidence of UFOs. Caught on cameras by several aircraft carriers and a bunch of F-16 pilots. That and the state of either Iowa or Ohio had a record number of UFO sightings this year.
Mm-hmm. I bet you there's a whole lot of different records that have been set this year. What with everyone being completely isolated, increasingly paranoid, and emotionally volatile. I bet you there's world records being set for all kinds of things.
I mean, I set some personal records for myself if you're interested.
Oh, I would love to hear them. This is the kind of entertainment that I think the listeners want to hear. What are some
this
of
is
the
what
records
they need.
That use? This is yeah. This is what they keep coming back for. Episode after episode.
Why else? I bought a record number of guns for myself, and I'm preparing to set up a child army in South America. And here's my plan. It's a 5-step plan that I will execute over the next couple of years. I'm going to get in the business of legalized organized crime, i.e. nonprofits. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to some South American country somewhere that people can't pronounce nor know of. And I'm just going to set up basically like a school, but we don't teach people. We'll just, you know, feed them, give them some alcohol and, you know, let the kids run wild. And from there, I'm going to basically guilt people in America to donate to help these children and or people who are 30, but say they're teenagers. And I'll funnel that money into local police stations, local churches, maybe another nonprofit, build a house for a person of cancer. Because at that point, what I want to do is I want to start opening up summer camps. And at these summer camps, what will happen is we'll go ahead and just teach them, survival skills, weapons training, you know, the whole thing that you would typically do at like Boy Scouts. Because at that point, when let's say somebody is like, this looks like very Heart of Darkness, very Apocalypse Now behavior. We should probably look into this. It's not like, you know, a Joseph Kony situation where you've gone ahead and just kidnapped a whole bunch of children and turned them into your child army. That mm-hmm. way, if someone goes snooping around like a John McAfee situation, all I have to do is go and to a group text and say, hey guys, they're here. I need you to come and save me. And they will burn down entire like theme parks, villages, Walmarts, not because they feel obligated to, but because they genuinely see me as a friend. That's the type of things that people are thinking about now. So I thought, might as well have a backup plan.
Sure. That's a pretty good one.
It's a little extensive, but I'll iron out the details later.
Right. Well, yeah, that stuff just comes with time. I mean, you can't plan every little thread of the blanket from the start. You have to go with the flow, you know. Right. You mentioned buying guns, though. So I don't know if the record number is one or if it's 100 or somewhere in between. Or
anything
more
than zero is typically pretty good.
Is pretty good, yes. I haven't bought a gun in, a few years. In fact, I sold a bunch of guns.
Wisconsin was pretty, you know, Second Amendment friendly. I know Arizona is a bit more so.
Wisconsin wasn't until Scott Walker. Before that, we were the second to last state to legalize any form of concealed carry. We still had to get a license to do it, which was like, okay. So I got the license up in Wisconsin. I came down here and I'm thinking, oh crap, now I'm going to have to change the address on my carry license and I'm going to have to retake a course or something, you know, pay an extra $50, $90, whatever it is. Turns out there's no rules on that. There's like, oh, just carry. I'm like, do I need a license? No, your license is the Second Amendment to the Constitution.
It's just funny that with everything going on, you've had some states really go out of their way to assess what will keep people happy during this time. And one of the funniest things I've seen, other than the fact that gun sales went up 400% across the United States in the month of May alone, are the number of states that are now allowing restaurants and bars to actually deliver alcohol to people. I didn't even know why that was against the law, but apparently other people forgot, because I know in Texas they allowed people to actually start delivering margaritas directly to your door.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I'm going to have to figure out some of those places. Because yeah, Arizona's shut down unless you want to wear a mask everywhere you go.
Do you guys have the whole phase thing going on? Like, are you guys, like in Virginia, we've had three phases. Phase one was everyone stays at home and don't go outside unless you're going to get like essential items. Phase two was you could start opening up like patio dining. And phase three is like 50% occupancy for all businesses.
I'm not sure if they actually have phases per se. It seems like Governor Doug Ducey, Doug Ducey, yes, he's been just kind of going back and forth on it. Like, we shut everything down for like 3 or 4 weeks, then we opened things back up for about 2 weeks, and then we shut everything back down. And now they're like, well, you know, you can still go to a grocery store, but you have to wear a face mask. I'm like, well, I'm not going to wear a face mask because I'm an adult, and the face masks aren't effective. If they were effective, they would just have prisoners wear face masks instead of releasing them into the populace. So clearly face masks are not really a solution for this. And I one thing I hate, and the older I get, the less I tolerate it, is being talked to like a child. Someone telling me, you know, if you're sick, you should stay home. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I learned that in kindergarten. Wash your hands after you use the bathroom. And before you eat food. Yeah, got it. Okay. Cover your mouth when you're coughing.
I knew there was a problem with people when everyone started screaming at the president back in January when he suggested that we should not cough on other people and wash our hands. And you would have thought that, you know, somebody had just kicked a baby on live TV. I didn't think that that was a controversial statement, but apparently there were a lot of people coughing on other people and not washing their hands.
Right. And so now they have the face mask thing going on now. And this has just kind of forced me into a different way of life. I no longer do my grocery shopping. I pay someone else to go and pick up everything on my list from a grocery store. They have to wear the mask. They drop it off at my house. And I give them a few dollars. And, you know, that's it. So it's like I'm even more isolated than I was before. Although it's a lot more convenient because I don't get stressed out standing in lines, and they have every other lane at the grocery store is closed to, you know, maintain social distancing. So they have like 1, 3, 5, 7, and it's like, okay, they never had that many lanes open to begin with.
I mean, the robots took over. The
robots took over
registers and everything.
Right. So there's more of the robot self-checkout lanes that are being used. But there's no spacers between those ones.
No.
So there's no like sense or logic behind any of the policies that are going on right now. And they talk about this is the new normal. And that's one thing that I kind of fear is that the coronavirus, this is most colds that people get in their lifetimes are a version of a coronavirus. This is just happens to be the one that came out in 2019, hence coronavirus 19. What are we going to do in 2020?
I'm hoping it's like
2022. Are we going to shut down the whole economy and the whole world every freaking time a new cold comes out?
I mean, I'm hoping it'll be like the Nintendo Wii equivalent to game systems. Within 5 years, we'll forget it ever happened. And when we find it, we'll ask ourselves, when did this occur? It's bothering me that this has already gone on so long. It's already been 6 months. And I mean, for me, it was a little bit more annoying because I started self-quarantining in the final week of February because I thought that I had caught like strep or something So I was starting like a week before everyone else started doing it. But I mean, I'm less worried about the virus and everything. And I'm more worried about the behaviors of people. I went to a physical therapy appointment for my neck the other day. And as I parked, I went ahead and put my mask on. In Virginia, you have to wear a mask when you go outside, when you're around a dense group of people. And I went inside, and there's this woman standing in front of me, and we have to take an elevator to go up three floors. So we're reading this poster that's above the buttons to, you know, turn on the elevator, and she's reading it. She looks at me and she says, "Ah, they say everything about social distancing and washing your hands, but the sign didn't say anything about masks," as if to solicit a, "Oh my God, these savages" response from me. And I'm just like, this Karen is already on my nerves within 2 seconds. I'm like, this whole thing's theater anyway. I just don't want to get $100 civil citation. And she looks at me as if I was just, pulling down my pants and urinating on the floor. And she looks at me as if, that's happening. And she says, "Well, I'm trying to save lives." And I just didn't say anything. I didn't look at her. I just didn't say anything. Not because right. I didn't want to say something, but because it's like, the sheep won't understand. It just follows.
Yeah, I know. And that's what it is. I think it's, the coronavirus is a real virus. Who knows where it really came from? I mean, China says that we gave it to them. China. Right. So maybe it came. We can go with that. That's fine. But I think it's been blown out of proportion on purpose in order to be almost a sort of social experiment to see how far will people go. How scared can we make them?
It's turned into
what liberties will they just give up if we scare them enough?
Have you seen people wearing a mask while driving their car?
Yes, while driving their car alone. These are the same people that wear condoms to bed. That wear condoms to bed when they sleep alone. These are the same people.
Oh my gosh. It's turned into a bit of
just in case. Yeah, you never know. Someone might sneak into my bedroom and try to fuck me.
I mean, stranger things are happening, but I mean, it really has turned into a bit of a civil religion, and I've stopped. The one thing I will not do is I will not do panel shows with people I don't know. And usually I like the excitement of getting an opportunity to do that. But if I don't know the person, if I find out that the stranger happens to be a left-leaning individual, I haven't been going on. It's not because I'm against free speech or I don't want to talk to people who are differently, but I've only been called a mask killer twice because I don't like masks. And, I tried saying on one program a few months ago, this is the last time I'm ever going on their show. I basically told them, the only person I can take care of is really myself. And that during this time of isolation, I know nothing I do is going to save Western civilization from this invisible enemy. So I might as well focus on my own habits, my own routine, take this as an opportunity to do something positive. And the communist on the other end of the line was just, foaming at the mouth, viciously beating off, it's just,
whoa.
I just, disturbing. You can't. He
was on a panel show, huh?
Yeah. What's the guy who did the Waco cult?
Oh, I forgot his name, but I know
David Koresh.
Yeah.
He looks like David Koresh, and he's okay. Just like he loves the constantly being a victim. So I just I said I had bad connection, and I hung up. And it was just one of those things where it's like, you can't help people that don't want to be helped, especially if they can't identify the problem. What are some of the habits that you've taken during this time? Like you've stayed employed, right? You weren't laid off or anything because of this?
No, but I don't have a typical 9-to-5. I mean, I just kind of do things for money, and then it appears in a brown envelope at my door.
Oh, drugs.
So I don't want to name it that, but I haven't lost any work or lost any wages because of it. My personal habits have not changed at all. I go and do my things during the day, and then I come home at night. That's kind of the way it's been for a long time.
Home invasions are like that.
Right. Well, I didn't say that either, but you're getting closer. No, none of my habits have changed at all. I mean, with the exception of, like, I have groceries delivered now as opposed to actually buying them myself. And I remember the first time I went into a gas station and they turned me and they said, "You have to have a mask on." And I said,
"Well, I'm just, gas station? Were you going inside or were you pumping gas?"
I was going inside. Oh. And I was like, "Well, I just got to get like a bottle of Powerade or Gatorade or something and I'll be out." They're like, "No, you need a mask." I'm like, "Okay, fine. You're not getting my money." So I went to Amazon and I ordered a ton of Gatorade and Powerade. And they're like, "You know, if you guys are going to go along with these silly mandates," which are just that, they're mandates, they're not laws. All of this stuff is completely illegal. The governors just mandating. No, the state legislatures have to actually pass these things, and they haven't passed them. It's just the governors saying, "Well, it's a state of emergency, and here are the new rules." Like, yeah, it's not. You're not a dictator. You're not a king. You don't get to tell millions of people that they have to wear a face mask in order to go into a restaurant or a bar or a store. You don't get to do that. Like, but people are just going along with it. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? If you're a brick and mortar store and you're going along with this, you know, and they say, "Well, if we don't go along with it, we're going to get fined." It's like, well, then don't pay the fines. You know, just don't pay them. And, you know, that's sometimes all it really takes. And it reminds me of an old scene from The Simpsons. This is one of I talk about it on occasion, but it's one of my favorite scenes where Homer's in a car with Lisa and they had just broken out of jail or something. And he's about
as
to start,
families do
as families do. And he's about to put the key in the ignition. And Lisa says, "Dad, stop. You can't drive. He has your license." And he says, "Oh, I'm going to try it anyway." And he magically, the car starts, even though he didn't have his license. He's like, "It worked. It's a miracle." It's like, that's the way this, you know, it's just like, you know, they tell you to wear a mask. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Or you have to practice social distancing. Like, I don't want to be that close to people anyways. So this is a benefit. You know, the traffic is much better in Phoenix. It's like a holiday how clear the roads are downtown, and it's fantastic. So there's been no real drawbacks for me personally. I do recognize that people have gotten sick. They are losing work. They are losing their jobs. People are dying from it, and that's bad, of course. But we also have to look at the grand scheme of things, and in the grand scheme in the world, about every day, 150,000 people die. Every single day, 150,000 people die. Also, in every single day, about 360,000 people are born. So even after the end of this horrible pandemic, we're going to have more people than we had before the pandemic. So we're not going extinct, okay? Like, old people are dying off. They were going to die anyways. And people say, "Oh, well, you're callous towards old people." It's like, I'm not the person who pushed them into an old folks home to rot away for the last years of their life. You did that. You're the children who shoved your parents into these old folks homes that have turned into, you know, complete disasters under the direction of guys like Andrew Cuomo. You know, that's not me being mean to old people, okay? They were going to die anyways. You didn't want to look at them. You didn't want to take care of them. Now they're sick and dying, and you want to point the finger everywhere else. When maybe if you had them living with you instead of in an overcrowded old folks home, they wouldn't have gotten sick in the first place. But you don't want to do that because that's inconvenient. So, you know, with all the people who are pointing fingers and claiming that they're a victim or that Trump didn't do enough, you know, it's just like, you know, you only get one finger to point at me and I'm going to point one back at you. And I think we know which one is which.
Yeah, this has turned into one of those times where, you know, prior with my old show, it was always about how to use the political process and our democratic systems to basically try and leverage change within your community, state, and nation. And more recently, especially with this current program, my whole system of thinking has somewhat changed in more of a way of how can you obtain more freedom and independence in your own life? Because it's hard to really take care of other people if you can't take care of yourself. And the one thing that never ceases to fail me is when I see people talking about how, oh, we, you know, on the left, they're like, oh, we need someone of character and with judgment in the White House. And everyone's like, oh, we need a president to do this and all this other stuff. And then I have to remember, like, if you were, you know, let's take income inequality, for example. If you were poor during the Trump years, you're probably going to be poor during the Biden years, God forbid. If you were, you know, in debt during the Bush administration, I doubt you were out of it during the Obama years. If you were unhealthy, if you had bad habits, whatever, nothing anyone in the White House does is going to change that for you, which is why I was hoping we would see a large number of people try and make, you know, their own selves better. And to a large extent, I have seen a lot of stories and cases where people are trying to improve their own lives, looking forward to a post-corona world, because there will always be something. I did the one thing no one around me wanted me to do recently. I went on a road trip around Virginia amidst the pandemic and the riots. And I had a fun time going on my trip, doing things, not being around lots of people, is mainly outdoor stuff. But, you know, the way I see it, there's always going to be something. I can't control it. All I can do is control what's directly around me. I think what we're going to see are really two massive changes in terms of the mindset of people after this. One, I think the next big schism between Americans will be those who can work from home and those who can't. My job is essentially, no one has said it explicitly, but all the signs are there. I'm probably never going to have to go back into an office again. I'm very lucky if that. It was always my intention to have a job that could do that. Now, because of circumstances, it's something that, you know, is pretty much here. And secondly, we're going to have people that are going to be able to move around when it's convenient for them, not move around if they're ever given permission to. And that is, do people have the capital to do that? Do people have the ability to do that? And do people have the freedom to do that? So I think the ability to work from anywhere because of your skills and the ability to travel where you freely choose is going to be the biggest difference between Americans going forward. Do you have that ability, and do you have the freedom to do so? And I think that's going to be, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, robots or not, whatever, of global events, that's going to be the biggest difference that people are going to be discussing and debating and arguing after this whole shit show.
Yeah. Labor's always shifting. I mean, it used to be us working in fields, and then we were working in factories, and now more and more we're working from home, and especially during the pandemic.
You don't even have to wear pants.
You don't even have to wear pants anymore, right? Sometimes you'll have like a Zoom call meeting and you got to put on at least a shirt, but
at least that, a shirt,
you know, but some days you probably don't even have to get out of your bed if you can do all your work from a laptop. And that's cool. You know, I think it would drive me nuts if I never left my house, because, you know, having a different, seeing different people. And I mean, even though people complain about traffic, having that daily commute to and from work is a good thing for a lot of people, because they get to think about stuff. They don't have anyone else yelling in their ears during that period. They get to just kind of relax, look at the road, look at the bumper of the guy in front of them. Sure, sometimes it gets frustrating, but for a lot of people, they need that, because they go straight from work back to home, where they have a wife and kids or a husband and kids, and it's just like, you need that little gap of time. And some people find that at a gym, some people find it at a coffee shop, but as those places are kind of disappearing, especially because of this pandemic, I wonder what it's going to do to people's mental health in the long term. And in the immediate term, because we're already seeing things like the suicide rates are jumping, and the domestic abuse rates are jumping, and things like that, which they never really seem to take into account when they talk about what's happening with the coronavirus. It's like, well, the virus is bad, but also people jumping out of buildings is bad too. And when you tell them that they can't leave their apartment, or if they do, they're only limited to do a handful of things, then they go nuts and they do jump out of buildings. Literally, that's happening. So we kind of have to, and that's the thing that bothers me, and it's probably one of the reasons why I want to start doing podcasting again, is to talk about these stories with a little bit of nuance. That when you get the news on, you know, the cable news or wherever you get it, a lot of, there is no nuance. It's just, this is really bad. If you don't think it's bad, then you're clearly a bad person. But this is really bad. Like, well, it is, but let's also think about other aspects of it. What are some things that are going on that people aren't talking about? And so I think mental health is going to be a bigger thing going forward. As far as the problems associated with the coronavirus and specifically the way we've tried to combat the coronavirus. And I mean, even things like sunlight is actually good for you. Sunlight, you get vitamin D from sunlight. Vitamin D helps your immune system so you can fight off viruses faster. Ultraviolet light also kills the coronavirus. So getting outside, getting fresh air, getting exercise, eating a healthy diet.
It confused the hell.
All of those things are good for you.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
we're now telling people that they should stay in their houses and be agoraphobes.
Like, yeah.
No, this is the worst advice you could really give to people from a mental health aspect.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that just surprised me was when all these coastal states started closing off their beaches. Now, I understand it's hard to, you know, social distance if you're in Cancun for beach week, but like, you know, for people that live there who aren't traveling, I mean, if you live near a beach, going out and, you know, getting some fresh air and jumping in the water and being in the sun, that's the best thing that could happen. And I mean, one of the problems that I faced very early on was that I told myself that this was going to be the most productive part of my life ever. Like, I'm like, I'm going to do a bunch of podcasts, I'm going to film, I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to take a bunch of online classes. And let me tell you, other than this, I have done nothing. I took one online class, but I have basically, like, I am disappointing myself with how little I did. But that's also, in a way, the one thing that I learned, which I always felt guilty of, but I had to really understand why it was important. It's the gift of rest. Your ability to allow yourself not to be productive, because, you know, often when you go online, it's people joking and almost like, you know, celebrating laziness and slothness. And there's this counter movement to it where it's like, you need to be hyper productive and always be hustling. Mm-hmm. And I did that, you know, for the first couple months. But what I found was that even though I'm not traveling and my, you know, daily work life has changed, you know, filling it with constant work and constantly needing to feel like I'm burning myself out, that's not healthy.
Right.
So I find myself doing a lot less side hustles and a lot less stuff, not because I've just lost interest in it, but because I understood that, you know, all things in moderation to a large degree, and that one of the things I could probably do now that I might not be able to do again, you know, depending on the circumstances, is give myself the ability, you know, get more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe actually sit down and like watch a movie because I want to. Usually what I'll do is I'll say, oh, I'm going to watch a movie, but I'll have my laptop and I'll be working on something because I feel guilty for watching a movie. And
right.
It's like, you know, that's why I miss movie theaters. Movie theaters used to be like my real escape from everything. It's like, while I'm here for this hour and a half to maybe 3 hour long film, I'm not looking at my cell phone. No one's going to come in and barge in on me. I don't have to go anywhere. Like, this is my me time. And I miss that. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people haven't been discussing. It's this nice balance between being productive and also allowing yourself to rest. And I mean, it's probably the best thing I've done for myself, because it's always, oh, you're either going to be extremely happy because you're getting all this stuff done because I'm a results-oriented person, or I'm going to feel like shit and be massively depressed because I'm not getting anything done. I can mm-hmm. say that, you know, I did all the things I need to do. I did a little extra stuff that I wanted to do, but I can allow myself to relax a little bit because I have that luxury. I mean, I'm still working. I've got the necessities. I've got food. I've got shelter, stuff like that. Like I can appreciate this
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, like you said, there is a balance in life where you don't want to be a lazy slob, but you don't want to be, you know, on the clock 24/7. So you do have to balance things. And, you know, that's just kind of part of life. And I feel like people are a lot of times one or the other. Like, I know a lot of people who are super, super hardworking, where even when you'd think that they'd be partying or enjoying time with friends, what they're really doing is networking. That's really what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Or I know other people who, you know, they're close to 30 years old and they haven't held a stable job for longer than a few months. And it's like, gooey boy, how are you ever going to survive when your parents die? You know, so it's like one or the other. And like you were saying, I think the best is kind of a balance where you get your shit done, but you also get some time in to relax and actually enjoy life.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things where it's like, there were some goals that I had and that I am still maintaining. And one of the biggest ones was, you know, my financial goals. One thing I was able to do now that I probably wouldn't have been able to do if this whole situation didn't happen, by the end of the year, I will have saved and invested 70% of my total earned income.
Wow, that's awesome.
It is.
Yeah, that's huge.
It is wild and crazy to think that I, of all people, would be able to achieve that. But so far since March, I've been hitting all my savings and investing goals. And this is, I see this almost as like a free money experience because I'm not commuting. So gas, I only fill up my car maybe twice a month now. And mm-hmm. gas in, you know, outside of DC in Northern Virginia is like under $2. I don't have to go to constant mixers and anything or networking events. A lot of my job had to do with, you know, travel within the city. I'm not doing that. Don't have to pay for dry cleaning. Don't have to pay for, you know, meals every meal because I'm constantly traveling. Like things like that. Like I didn't realize how much money I was spending. And that was always just money that was part of my like discretionary spending. So now it's like, if you know, now for other things, like, you know, no movie theaters. So that's like $20, you know, when you buy the ticket and snacks or whatever, and, you know, gas, right, a buck there. It's like that, all those things were adding up. And it was like, you know, I can actually achieve this. And, you know, that's one goal that I'll be able to maintain through the end of the year. And I know that this is going to end one day. And I think for some people, they think that it's like the end of the world and this is how it's going to be forever. But I know one day I'm not going to get this luxury. So I might as well take full advantage of it right now. Because 60% of my total earned income before taxes, I'm sorry, after taxes, but before, you know, tax season, like that's like strange YouTube mogul shit. And I'm making a modest, you know, a modest middle class income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I mean, 70% of your earned income being saved or invested. That's pretty incredible.
I was the person that used to have to sell books and blood for gas money. So
yeah, no, I believe that you work for every damn penny of it, no doubt. But like, wow, I haven't heard of anyone doing that. And so it's good that you've taken advantage of this in a positive way instead of just saying, oh, woe is me. You're saying, well, actually, there's some pros to this. Maybe I could take advantage of this and build myself a nice portfolio. Yeah. While everything's shut down,
I mean,
you might as well.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
what else are you going to do?
The one thing that I really learned when I was like, what are things I want to do during this time? Like, yeah, the goal was there, but I had to ask the why. And it's like when I forget the author who brings it up, but he talks about like the three pillars of freedom: financial freedom, health, you know, being good with your health, but also sense of purpose. Like if you don't have those three things, nothing else is going to matter. And the one thing I realized was that I was a financially insecure person because I had a very scarcity mindset going for me. And I was always like, it's like each time I got money, it was always eaten up by something else. I'm always chasing like the next thing. Even though I have a full-time job, I've got my hands in like seven different things. But the one thing that I realized about myself as a 25-year-old working adult is that I feel like I'm better now, but like me 6 months ago, right before this, I was extremely financially illiterate.
Sure.
Like I knew very little to nothing about investing and, you know, just being good with my finances. So that way I could be controlling my money and my expenses and everything instead of having it constantly pulling me around. Because I think for the first time in my life, I feel an extreme sense of calm because I know what's going on. Yeah. And it is weird to feel that.
Right. No, and that, but that's, it is weird when you first do it. I've kind of been in that mindset for a few years. Where I'm very, very in tune with what money is coming in and what money is going out. And sometimes people don't even want to look at their bank statements because they're like worried about how little money they have. But it's like, what is going to get rid of that feeling of uneasiness is actually educating yourself about your finances. And, you know, once you know how much is coming in, and you know where it's going, then you can kind of pick and choose and be like, wait, I'm spending how much on Netflix? I watched Netflix like twice in the last 3 months and I'm spending $15 a month on it. I guess I can get, I have $45 extra. I can buy 2 shares of XYZ stock.
Exactly.
I'm not advocating buying XYZ stock, but I actually don't know if that is a stock. It might be a symbol. I'm not sure. But
everything is legal and existing somewhere.
Yes. No, but so once you get your head just kind of wrapped around it and tuned into what's going on with your personal finances, it does just kind of calm you down. Even if you realize that you have to live a slightly different lifestyle in order to, you know, reach some of your goals, at least you know what direction you're going.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of this whole thing too, because I don't know if I would have ever been able to do this had this whole situation not come. Because, you know, like I have gone out to eat with my friends since restaurants have opened up twice the past month. So since mid-June, I didn't realize that I was probably going out to eat like 3-4 times a week and then maybe twice during a day, whether it was for work or for my own personal life.
Yeah.
With things like that, it's like, I don't think I would have ever noticed it had it not been taken away from me.
Sure. And that's sometimes what it takes. Yeah. You know?
Like in a strange way, I'm almost grateful. Like I'm not happy this whole thing happened, but I'm grateful at least I'm able to get something positive out of it.
Exactly. But notice the difference in your kind of mindset versus, let's just say, Antifa or Black Lives Matter, whereas you're trying to educate yourself on your own situation and just make sure everything's set in your life. How many people in members of Antifa you think have ever written out a personal budget or read a book on finances?
But budgets are for the... or for the capitalist warmongers.
Right. But you know, if you're going to bitch and moan about not being a millionaire, maybe you should take up some of the habits of millionaires. And perhaps, the average millionaire reads, way more than the average American does. You don't think that has some kind of effect on them, that they read, like the average American watches a shitload of TV and the average millionaire doesn't watch hardly any. The average millionaire reads a ton of books and newspapers and magazines. The average American doesn't read hardly any. You think that some of these habits might have some sort of impact on their bank accounts? Yeah, of course they do. But people don't want to take that into account. They want to just point the fingers. And, you know, one thing that I've been kind of trying to figure out, like, why do some issues bother me and other issues not bother me? And an issue that...
Like if personal or societal?
Societal, okay. Right? It's the issue of justice. Is something just or not? And, you know, when people are breaking into an AutoZone and stealing everything on the shelves, I don't see that as justice. I see that as injustice, which is why it upsets me. Killing of George Floyd was also injustice, which is why it upsets me. But the solution to injustice is not more injustice. And when people avoid taking personal responsibility for their own situation in life, that is them just saying, don't blame me, don't blame me. It's like, well, I have to blame you because that would be justice. If your life sucks, it's because you, by and large, I know some people have just horrible circumstances and we can't control everything in our lives, but a lot of the time, people's lives suck because of the decisions that they make in their lives. No one's holding a gun to your head telling you to get pregnant when you don't have a husband, when you don't have an education, when you don't have a career. No one's doing that. You're doing that. And the list goes on and on and on. No one's telling you to play Fortnite for, 14 hours a day and then work at McDonald's and demand that the government raise the minimum wage. Your life sucks because you suck, and justice will only be served once those people take responsibility for their lives sucking. And that's the ultimate solution to it. Some people don't like that because, it ignores systemic problems. You're not going to fix all of the systems in the world. Ultimately, you have to take control over your life. And it requires a little bit different mindset, or let's be honest, a wildly different mindset. But that's the way everyone who is successful has gotten that way.
Yeah, and the one thing that I read in a few studies was that people will admit to not taking personal responsibility because not because they don't feel they're capable of doing so, but because they're uncomfortable with confronting their faults. And in a way, when I saw that, I kind of laughed at the study, and it's like, wow, all these other people are willing to admit it. Everyone that said that's not the problem, or they're lying. Because folks, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, if I'm the first one to tell you this, but everyone feels that way. Everyone feels that way.
Yeah, at some point or another, of course.
Yeah, and to overcome that and to confront it is the first step towards actually making a difference.
Right, right. And you have to kind of, I don't know, people, I don't know if it's because of social media or lack of real relationships or bad parenting or bad, I'm not sure what the cause is, but people have this kind of, they have their life, which might suck, but then they have their Instagram life, which is amazing. They're always on vacation, it seems, on Instagram.
They're fucking
always
hate those
smiling.
People.
They're always having fun on Instagram, but their real life is miserable. So there's this huge disconnect between reality and what people either put out there or are getting from out there. Like if you go on Instagram and let's say that your life sucks, you go on Instagram and you see that everybody on there has a better life than you. Well, that's going to make you feel pretty shitty.
Yeah.
And, it's just like this weird cycle. Well, I got to put something on there that makes them think that I have a good life too. So then you post your own fake photo of yourself on vacation, smiling with no friends and no family and no interesting hobbies and no path in life. And it's a depressing kind of is this a society that we live in now? And I'm kind of coming to the conclusion that it is. And that, the American dream is somewhat dead, or at least dying. Sorry.
I agree with a ton of what you said. I think the one thing that I started learning about recently, a friend of mine brought this up to me. He started talking about the Zoomers, the generation that comes after millennials.
Okay.
And I think, to kind of add some context, I think the problem with our, our millennial generation is that we were told that we deserve great lives simply for existing, because we are who we are. We deserve great lives and personal responsibilities for other people. But when you look at, the Zoomers, the people who are, now probably in their late teens and younger, they had some strange trends that I did not see coming, especially when you look at who raised them. You look at the people that raised us, they're post, sexual revolution, they've been raised by the boomers that had a great economy after the world almost destroyed itself and stuff like that. It was almost like entitlement only breeded more entitlement. Then when you look at this generation that are offsprings of the millennials, they have some strange habits. I'll have to go find the thing I saw. It was an extensive report, I think done through Pew or somebody, but it basically showed them on certain issues. Zoomers are way more pro-life than any of the last three generations. So I'm talking our grandparents. Zoomers are more pro-life than the last three generations. Now, they also tend to skew less religious. Yet, when you look at the Zoomers that will identify as being religious, that religious bunch compared to millennials and our parents' generation identify as religious, Zoomers are more likely to go to church than anyone else. They're more likely to actually attend church and be involved in their community. And I mean, it goes on and on, but I mean, I kind of see it when I go to DC. Like before this, when you went to the National Mall, you will see kids like in middle school or high school, you'll never see this on TV, wearing MAGA hats. MAGA hats are incredibly popular in DC as something tourists buy. You could buy them anywhere, the bootleg ones from Colombia, China, whatever. But I think it's funny that, you know, I always see this and people notice it. They notice a lot of young kids, a lot of, you know, multi-ethnic, multiracial kids wearing MAGA hats. Now, am I making a statement about them being more conservative or more Republican? No, but it's just something that I've noticed. And I think it ultimately comes for some generation to screw up so badly that without the kids being explicitly taught what is right, they're able to see around them and know in some part of them that things could be better.
I hope you're right. I don't think you are, but I hope you're right.
I don't think I am either, but it's an interesting thing to look into more.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I also just look at education standards and things like that. It's like, okay, we basically are the dumbest generation yet.
How many people after this do you think are going to be homeschooling or looking for things outside of public?
But I don't know that that's necessarily going to be better. I don't want freaking Cletus, you know, teaching his own kids. I just don't. Sorry. You know, not that there's that much worse than public schools, but, you know, at least the kid will get fed at the public schools. Not well, you know, this, the whole, it's just a freaking clusterfuck. I guess that's one of the reasons why I stopped podcasting. Now I'm questioning getting back into it, having to read all these miserable news stories and studies.
Make it your own journey.
My own journey.
Don't make it about the news that other people are following. Make the news.
Ooh, well, I need to.
Trademark, Remson Martinez 2020.
I think I'd have to have a significant bump in listenership in order to make the news. I'm not El Rushbo quite yet.
But, I mean, you know, things like this, I think this was my biggest challenge getting back into the show. And at this point, you know, we're into the 30s in terms of episodes. Like, I thought that if I stopped talking about things that are going on directly in the headlights, people wouldn't want to hear it. And what I have learned, especially through, you know, talking to a lot of my listeners now, and folks, please, I say follow me on all the social media and all that shit, but really the only place where I really want to engage with people is ironically on Instagram. Because if you look at my Instagram stories, I'm constantly asking you to submit questions, comments, criticism, concerns. We're doing polls.
Did you get any questions for me?
Well, they asked where you were. So I had to make up stories and tell them that, you know, you were Chinese triads and shit. So that was it. It was just a bunch of that.
It was the Yakuza in Japan, not the triads.
All right. But I mean, things like that. Like what I have learned is that there's a deficit in people asking. I'm sorry. There's a deficit in, and you know, you look on YouTube and it's like how to be rich, how to be famous, how to do all this other stuff. There's a lot of people searching for really common questions. How do, you know, common answers, the very common challenges and questions we have. How do I obtain more freedom in my life? How do I obtain more sense of purpose? And the thing I love to tell people is that I don't know that, but we can explore it together. And I think that's what's made this experience not just a better show, but for people listening, I think it's also made them more engaged with it because it is actually doing better than I thought. People are actually wanting to, you know, really pitch into the show in ways I never saw before. And I think that's why my old show, right before this, the Remso Martinez Experience, that was, you know, the continuation of the Remso Republic, that's why that changed. That's why that show ended, because it stopped being about politics. It stopped being about current events. It was weird when I would do solo monologues about me selling makeup to strippers outside of DC and Baltimore, that I didn't have to promote that, but that got crazy downloads that I never anticipated. And I think right now when we're so isolated, we're yearning, you know, communication and that sense of being almost, because what I keep telling people and I keep telling myself, this is, there's going to be a world after this, folks. You're going to have to leave the house. There will be cruises again. There will be movies again. There will be giant potlucks of people who will not wash their hands again. That's going to be the greatest opportunity to see the differences you've made in your life. I think
when you reconnect with all these people, they want to see if you've changed at all.
Yeah, or at least how much weight we've all gained.
Yeah, I've lost weight. I've lost weight, man.
It's been like, I can't say I've done great, but at least I've kept it off. I will say that.
There you go. No, I don't know. I guess I tend to agree, but I also, you know, people talk about what is their purpose in life. And, I think for a lot of people, it's like, there, you don't have one. Come on. Like, what's my you don't have one. Just get to work. I don't feel like my life has meaning. It doesn't have meaning. Some people don't have meaningful lives. But I just want to be known. You're not going to be known because you don't have any talent. But how do I get talent? You can't. You weren't born with it. You're done.
I tell people all the time, one of the best things I ever did in my life was get a minimum wage job at GameStop. After I wrote my book, after all my political scheming and everything else, I was broke and I needed money. So I got a minimum wage job working part-time at GameStop. And that was one of like the most soul regenerating experiences of my life, because I didn't have to think. I just had to be told what to do. And then I asked myself, what's next? It was so weird.
And sometimes there's nothing wrong with people who live that kind of life. You know, if you just want to be another spoke on the wheel, then go right ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. And not everyone's going to be beautiful. Not everyone's going to be rich. Not everyone's going to be famous.
It's hard to be me.
Oh my God. My dog was whining to get into the studio.
He understands. He totally understands what we're saying.
Well, it's actually not even mine. I'm dog sitting it because some people are out of town.
Wow.
And it was whining to get into the studio. Now it's whining to get out of the studio. And I'm pretty sure I'm just going to kick it out of the house and let it melt. It's 116 down here right now.
But zero humidity, so it feels like 90, right?
Yeah, people tell that is such a crock right there. Oh, well, it's a dry heat in Arizona. It's like, yeah, well, ovens, that's a dry heat too. Fire is a dry heat. You know, it doesn't make it any less hot. You can still boil an egg on the cement outside. So, man, it's brutal out here. So I'm just going to kick this dog out of my house and let her, cook for dinner later.
She'll live. She'll live. So, Tim, we're running up on time. We covered a lot of stuff. What do people have to look forward to with the Tim Preuss podcast coming back? You know, what are they going to hear? How can they connect with you and all that awesome stuff?
Well, they're going to hear me rant and rave for at least 2 hours a week. I mean, when I'm coming back this time, I'm going to be doing it regularly. It's every Monday. I'll be recording on Sundays, so I'll get all of the week's news kind of lined out. And I think I'm going to be doing a little bit extra research into some of these issues, like just like inconvenient statistics. Here, I'll throw one at you right off the bat. I was going to save it for the first episode, but I decided not to. Did you know that people don't want to mention this? But shut up, you dirty whore. If you're a...
Please continue. That's staying in.
Gosh. White people are two times more likely to be killed by black people than black people are to be killed by white people. So when we talk about black people being killed innocently by either police or just the white man in general, they never mention that if you're white, you're twice as likely to be killed by a black person than a black person is to be killed by a white person. I read it. I had to look it up.
That's like a proportion thing, though, right? It's like when you look at the number of white people that go to prison, you look at the number of black people that go to prison. Yeah, there are more white people in prison. But then when you look at the proportion to the overall population of that group, it's higher on the other end. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, whoa. I mean, you know, most black people are killed by other black people. Most white people are killed by other white people. That's always been true. It always will be true. But as for like who's more dangerous to the other one, black people are way more dangerous to white people than we are to them. Just saying, those are the FBI crime stats. You can look it up. I'll post it up. But things like that that I want to kind of get into and say, why is the media not mentioning these things? And if we took these kinds of facts into account, would we come up with a very different narrative about what's happening in society right now? So that'll be current events, but it's not just going to be me reading a news story and then saying, okay, on to the next one. We're going to go in depth on stuff, but I'm just excited for it. I feel physically better than I have in, years. My energy level's there. My wit is there.
I'm drinking dragon energy.
I'm drinking significantly less. So, you know, mentally I'm there, and I think it's about time to kind of relaunch this thing and do it right. People can find me on social media, on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. Easiest way to do it is just go to Google and type in Tim, P-R-E-U-S-S. Preuss is the last name. But do that and all the other stuff will come right up. And, I'll be posting everything everywhere that I can. So just follow and you'll see it as it's coming.
Whether you want it or not, folks, the Tim Preuss is coming. I'm sorry, the Tim Preuss podcast is coming back to you. Tim, my friend, it's always great to hear that you're coming back. Sometimes we all just need a break from things to kind of, you know, restart our thinking and then push forward. Always great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me again, Remzo.
Folks, well, you know, uncomfortable conversations, journeys into mystery, exploring where we are and our sense of purpose, whether big or small, what is yours works for you, and ultimately that is the whole goal. So please go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. You know how Al Gore's amazing internet works, and I'll see you in a couple days when we come back again. As always, I'm Rumpster W. Martinez. You're listening to On the Run. On the Run. Good night, America.
Check out our other shows and more from the We Are Libertarians Network at wearelibertarians.com.